You know, I do want to thank all of those who worked so hard together to make our Christmas Eve candlelight service a very special time and a memory, a good memory for all of us. And we just want to thank you and thank the Lord for you. Also, I don't know if I'm supposed to announce this or not, but we still have a few poinsettia plants that are left over. And if you were not here on Wednesday night and you would like a poinsettia plant, please take one at the end of our service today. We are going to have a brief congregational meeting. I'm going to talk to the pastor and see if we can have a shorter sermon today so that you won't be left out or anything. So, you know, we're going to have a brief meeting, but we do ask that the members remain because we have to have a quorum in order to make any decisions. So we would ask that you would just remain behind. It won't take long, maybe an hour or two, but it won't take long. So, yeah. No, when I was in seminary, they told us we should be reverends and not never ends. So, our scripture reading is found in Isaiah chapter 40, and just reading verses 27 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40, I don't have the page number, but shouldn't be hard. It's just Matthew, Mark, Luke, Isaiah. So it's easy to... Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 27. And hear now the word of God. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my night is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, I'm sure as we read those texts, some of us can identify with the passage that talks about growing faint and being weary after all the events of the holidays from Thanksgiving all the way through to this coming Wednesday. So many activities, so many things to do, and it's not unthinkable that we would be tired and weary, but the Lord gives us his promise that if we will wait on him and trust on him, our strength is renewed like the eagles. What a tremendous promise he gives us. But this Tuesday is going to be New Year's Eve. It's kind of the last hurrah of the holiday season. And in this night, we have the tradition, the age-old tradition of ringing out the old and ringing in the new. It's very special this time, this year, because this is the end of a decade. This is the end of the teens and going into the 20s. So great. And what that means is that next time we meet together, all of us will have 20/20 vision. I think that's especially going to help me. But you know, we have a lot of traditions. I don't know what, you may have certain traditions that you remember as far as New Year's Eve, things that you used to do. You know, my father used to have this big box that he kept up in the attic, and none of us were allowed to touch what was in that box, but it was filled with noisemakers. Now you know why my father didn't want us to touch them. But they were noisemakers, and they had those hand cranks, and there was a great big old cowbell, and there were all these things on New Year's Eve, right at midnight, if we were able to stay up that long, stay awake, he would bring down the box and we would all grab our favorite one and we'd make as much noise as we could, you know, until our parents went crazy and told us to stop. But we did it as long as we possibly could just to celebrate and ring in the new year. You probably have traditions like that. You know, we can all remember the great tradition in Times Square of the ball dropping down, the countdown, and going all the way down. And all the time they use those symbols of the old man with the long white beard walking across, and then the little baby, the old year passing away and the new year coming. You know, another tradition that has been celebrated in many years, for many years, is the concept of coming up with New Year's resolutions. You know, you don't hear much about that anymore, but that used to be a real big deal. You know, people would be making resolutions. They'd make a list of things that they wanted to do in the new year, in the coming year. I think the reason that it probably fell into disfavor was because they learned that the average resolution only lasted about 2 weeks. Now, that's the truth. That was a poll that was taken, that people have all these great intentions as they go in to the new year, and they write these down, and they're full of vim, vigor. Yeah, we're going to do this. You probably know this. What's the number one resolution? It's to lose weight. That's right. That's right. Well, that lasts about 2 weeks, and then we go back. But you know, the new year basically means a new beginning. It's a time for a new beginning. And like I say, now we can look back on the past decade from 2010 all the way up to 2019 and look at everything that's happened, everything that's taken place. Where were you in 2010? What was happening in your life during that time? How much has changed in those 10 years? And now we're entering a new decade, the 2020s. And what do we have to look forward to? What's going to happen in these years ahead from 2020 to 2030? What's going to take place during those times? It's a new beginning. It's something that's new for us, new for individuals. It's also new for our church. It's a new time for us. But it's a time also kind of to take stock, to look at where we are, at what we've done right and what we've done wrong, and to make changes, to do what we can. How can we really make it count as we're considering these things? You know, there's a very well-known motivational speaker that came up with what he called five keys to success in making resolutions and in setting goals for yourself. And one of the things he says is that if you don't have any goals, you hit them every time. You have to have goals. You have to have things that you want to be able to achieve so that you can move forward. It's not time for us just to lay back and say, well, I've lived my life. It's over. I might as well just go day to day until the Lord comes or until I die. Well, no, that's not right. There's no hope in that. But he says there should be at least five different steps that we should take. One of them is that we should review last year's resolutions. What was it that we purposed in our hearts to do last year? And did we reach those goals? Are those things that we actually were able to achieve? The second one is, of course, to set new goals for this year. What do you want to accomplish in this year, in the year 2020? What would you like to accomplish during this year? And there are some restrictions on that as we make these goals. First of all, they should be realistic. You know, I can say I'd like to win the lottery in the year 2020. Well, I mean, if the Lord wanted me to win the lottery, I would. But that's not really a realistic goal. You know, I want to lose 100 pounds. Well, that may not be a realistic goal, you know. So what are the realistic goals? They should be realistic, and they should also be measurable. And that is, can I evaluate myself over time and see that I'm actually making progress toward that goal? They should be realistic, and they should be measurable. Now, I'm not coming up with this. This is what this motivational speaker has said. Then he said, you should take all of your goals and focus on the one or two that you feel are the most important in your life, the most important. I can give you one that Annie and I decided last year, at the end of the year. We decided that in the year 2019, that we were going to read all the way through the Bible in 1 year. And we found a program that showed us how much we should read each day. And we have followed that each day. And now we're at the very end of it. And we have read through the entire Bible in the year 2019. And we're excited about that. You know, now we get to start over again. And I'm not really looking forward to going through Numbers again. or Leviticus, but you know, this is part of it, and we go through it. God has his own reasons for that. So we focus on the ones that are really the most important, and we're going to do our best on those. And then the key is to plan for long-term results and not just immediate gratification. When we're setting goals for ourselves, for instance, losing weight, we can go on a crash diet, go on a grapefruit diet or something like that and lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks, you know, and then we put on 11 pounds in the next 2 weeks. So it's got to be something that's a long term, something that we're looking down the road to. We want to be able to accomplish this so that the end of 2020, we can actually look back and say, yes, this has been a benefit. This has actually been a great help. So we plan for those long term results. And then the last one, the fifth one that he talked about, was making sure that you count the costs, because it does cost. Even like reading through the Bible, well, that takes time, and you have to plan for that time at some point during your day to be able to do that, to be able to accomplish it. So whatever your goal is, it's going to take something out of you. It's going to cost something for you to be able to do it. Is it worth that? Oh, yes, it is. It is, if it's a valid goal. So these were the things that he talked about, and the five different keys. And, you know, in order to do this, I think if we're really serious about making a resolution, we have to recognize the fact that it is a commitment. And we have to have some value in that commitment. For instance, we could say to ourselves, in 2020, I promise myself, my loved ones, my God, that I will change for the better. These are the things that I want to try to phase out, and this is what I want to build on. And so I'm going to promise myself, I'm going to promise my loved ones, I'm going to promise the Lord that in this year I'm going to do my very best to accomplish this, because I know that it's for my good and for the good of those who are around me. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be able to reach this goal. It's that important. Now, you know, you may look at all that and say, well, it just seems like a lot of work. I don't know. So you have to say, is it really worth it? Well, if it's not, you're never going to reach the goal. It has to be important enough for you to sacrifice and make a commitment to reach that goal. And not only a short-term commitment, but a long-term commitment, that I'm going to stick with this no matter what. Now, it might be a health issue. It might be something that we're making a commitment, a resolution that affects our health. You know, I'm going to cut down on certain foods, or I'm going to add certain things that I know are beneficial, that are healthy. And so we have to make those kinds of commitment, or we'll never reach the goal. So how should we begin all that? How should we actually start? Well, I think first, it takes a positive outlook on our part. We have to have a positive outlook toward life. And that is that life is something that's very precious and something that's out there in front of us. We don't simply look back at all the things that have happened and let that determine what our future is going to be. Now, that's good for human beings. It's good for people. It's good for churches. It's good for us to be able to say, you know, whatever has happened in the past is water under the bridge. But what's going to happen from this day forward until the Lord returns? What's going to happen? That's a positive outlook. Like somebody said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. That's an old saying, but it's very true. What has God determined for your life from this day forward? What does he want you to be? What does he want you to do? Now, you may say, I'm weary. I'm tired. I don't really want to do anything. I just want to sit there and watch TV, or sit there and eat, or just sit there and do whatever. I don't care about what's happening out there. Well, then you've already lost. You've already lost. Because life is so special. Now, this coming week, The Messenger is going to come out, and I put an article in The Messenger. It will come out this week. Hopefully it'll come out this week. But I put an article in there about something that that Clint Eastwood said one time. And I'm not going to go into it because I want you to read the article. But Clint Eastwood was asked, he's 89 years old and he's still making movies. And somebody said, how in the world do you continue to make movies when you're 89 years old? Aren't you tired? Aren't you weary? And he looked at him and he said, you know, I just don't let the old man in. That's why he keeps on going. He's not gonna give in to those things. He's going to continue to press and move forward. And isn't that just what we're told in Scripture? Isn't that what we're told? Forgetting what lies behind and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal. Well, sure, that was Paul. You say, well, Paul wasn't in his 80s. Maybe not. But he had suffered more than any of us will suffer. He'd been through so much at that point. And he had every reason to say, look, I've done enough. I mean, at what point do I just stop? When you get to heaven. That's your rest right there. Until then, we've got this tremendous life that God has given us. We've got this tremendous church that God has given us. And we have every reason to do all that we can to make it everything that God wants it to be. And in the process, we're going to receive the joy and the blessing and the happiness. What would it take, really, for us to feel fulfilled in this new year that's coming up? Well, I think one thing is that we need to stop listening to the news on television. We need to stop letting what's being said in the political arena take us down and worry us and concern us about the future. Every day something comes up that basically says, this is what's going to happen to you in the year 2020. You know, the latest one is that the people that believe in climate change and global warming are going to take away our homes. There will be no more private ownership of homes because that contributes to this climate change problem. And that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So much of this, 90% of what we hear and are worried about never happens. It never takes place. But we let it take away our joy and our enthusiasm for life. We need to stop that. We need to start looking at our Creator. We need to start looking at the Lord. We need to start looking into His Word and living life to its fullest. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's what the new year holds. That's the potential that we have in front of us in the year 2020. You know, we look around and we've been taught from the time we're young to evaluate life based on our circumstances. You know, men tend to identify their position in life by how much money they make or the power that they're able to exert. Women often will look at their success as homemakers or their success as mothers or their success in the job place. They may look at those things and say, you know, this is where my identity lies. But the Bible teaches a different standard. It says that who and what we are is tied directly to our relationship with God. He's chosen us to be His own. He's paid the price for our sin. He's opened up the doors to relationship with Him for the time that we're here on earth. He has blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly places. God has given us so much. And we should be rejoicing in who we are in Christ, not who we are in this world. This world and the things of this world will pass away. But our relationship with Jesus Christ is eternal. It'll be there forever. And beyond all this, it says, He tells us in His Word that He has adopted us as His own children, and He calls us His own. He loves us with an everlasting love. What could be better than that? Now, you know, I know that we have aches and pains. I know that we have physical problems. I know that we have sorrows, issues that we have to face. Always happens around Christmas, when we think about Christmases past and, well, where's such and such and so, and why can't we all be together like it used to be? And, you know, those things are painful. Those are struggles that we go through, and we can't control those things. In fact, the Bible tells us that as sparks fly upward, so troubles fly to a man. Yeah, we go through difficult times. Jesus told his disciples, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And through him, we overcome the world. We overcome all these things, even our physical problems. And that's why he talks about here that we will run and not grow weary. We'll not be faint. He who waits on the Lord will gain new strength. Now, that's what we need right now. That's what we need at the end of 2019, going into 2020. And that's the basis for what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And I'm just going to read it again. I've already mentioned it. But Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says this, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Just forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward to what lies ahead. Now, as we end this year on Tuesday night, and we're wherever we are, you know, some people say, "I just go to bed early. I don't pay any attention. It's going to come anyway." But if you happen to stay up and you're watching everything that's taking place, you know, I kind of like to start around 5 in the afternoon and see and watch it just kind of move all the way across, you know. And it's kind of fun to do that. But as you see that, just remember, all right, what's happened up until this point is behind me. Now, I've got this brand new year, never been used before. What am I going to do with it? How am I going to live it? He who waits on the Lord will gain new strength. That's what we need. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are so thankful and grateful to you that it's because of you that we have these blessings. It's because of you that we have all these things. And Lord, you will not leave or forsake your people. In the year 2020, you'll be here for us. You'll watch over us and protect us and guide us and direct us. So, Lord, we put our faith and our trust in you, not the things of this world. And we ask, Lord, that we could rejoice in the fact that just as you have kept us in the palm of your hand through all these years, so you will in 2020 and for the years to come. We thank you and praise you and ask for your blessing on this time. But we pray in Jesus' name, amen.